We're halfway through. I want to say just real quick, I know two pastors in the room, the two that prayed. How many other pastors do we have here? Raise your hands. I want to so sincerely say to you folks, okay, pastors, they don't need more work to look for. As we say in the South, they got more to say grace over in a day than anybody else. But your heart to say these issues matter and the church needs to step up and know about them, you guys are terribly heroic, and I appreciate that. We get emotional of that at that, just pastors being faithful in that way, rather than, you know what, don't want to get my hands dirty, don't want to, it's not easy to do. And so we honor you guys in that. And ladies, I say guys relatively. So I do want to honor you in that way. Okay, my clicker here. I got to take a drink. What we're going to talk about is just a more detailed talk on sort of what we were talking about in the first session of what do we find out there and what do we see and what do we learn, and some of these, like the tremendous inconsistencies of that professor in Denver. And as I engage this and I go to these things, you just see these illustrations, phenomenal. In fact, laughable illustrations. It would be laughable if they weren't real, but laughable illustrations of how the truth and reality just slams into their dogma, T-bones it, and you just have this nuttiness. And that's what we're going to talk about. I want to go through, and I've titled this talk, Five Fatal Flaws of Gender Theory. And what we're going to do is go basically through, if you will, we have the Ten Commandments. They have, you know, these commandments that are basic to their belief system. And we're going to go through and look at five of them and show how they are actually not only just not internally consistent, but how they contradict themselves within the thing itself. It's kind of a weird way to say that. But I want us to, as we go into this, approach this as students in the first day of class at the university. We have our nice new notebooks and they're shiny and our, you know, we got our pencils all sharpened and we're just ready to go, okay? And we want to take our professor seriously. You know what? I know this about gender stuff, but I'm willing to give you a listen. And I want to pay attention in class. In fact, folks, that is important because it shows respect, if you will. When I go into their realm and I say, I really do want to learn what it is you guys believe. Just like when we had Jonathan Rauch come. I really do want to learn. And so we have to do that. We're in class. We're learning this new thing. And we want to be, we're taking notes. And Professor, you just said this, so maybe I'm not understanding how this can lead to that. We need to be good students. And so let's put ourselves in that situation as we move through these things. First of all, they make the point that sex is different than gender, and gender is not sex. That's very important because when I'm debating and talking, I will have a nice student come up and say, stand up, Mr. Stanton, you seem all nice and, you know, very informed, but you seem to just have a lack of knowledge and understanding of the difference between sex and gender. As if, oh my goodness, I have no idea what you're talking about. Please enlighten me. You know, I mean, first of all, just that arrogance in that way. And so I will sometimes, well, you know, enlighten me. Well, see, sex is what is between your legs. That determines what you are. That's your sex. Your gender is what's between, and do you know what the answer to that is? Their little talking point. Your ears, right? And it's such a cute little statement, you know. Your gender is what you understand yourself to be. Your sex is what you physically, biologically are. And so they will say, I mean, you hear this phrase, I was assigned male at birth. What they mean is, I was assigned that. I come out of my mother's womb, I see a penis there, okay, let's check off male. And it's like some archaic system determined, okay, yeah, I see the little thing there, so let's sign him up as male. And I may be something completely different. See, your sex can be oftentimes very different than your gender, and your gender can be very different than your sex. So we would think there must have been some scientific development that came along, and we read it on the front page of the New York Times, you know, now scientists have found X, and now we know that sex is different than gender. That is not what happened. It is just mere ideology. This guy, John Money, from Johns Hopkins University in the 60s and 70s, he created this distinction there between sex and gender. What's interesting was there was a good scholar who did a study on the use of these words, sex and gender, in academic titles of journal articles, okay? And he just said, within the different disciplines of the hard sciences, what I like to call the test tube, microscopes, they're actually looking at things, and then the soft sciences, sociology, the humanities, anthropology, he wanted to find out, how are the terms gender and sex used in the hard sciences in their academic articles, and how are those two terms used in the soft sciences? And so what he did was somehow he was able to analyze, like, it was either 3 million or 13 million. It was some crazy number of academic titles, dividing them up into the soft and hard sciences. And what he found out is in a period of time in the soft sciences, gender and sex were started to be used as distinct things like crazy, just shot right up. In the hard sciences, those disciplines, it rose a little bit, but it was more like this. And it goes back to a little bit of what I said earlier is, you know, the hard sciences, they don't go in for these theoretical things. You know what? In bees, in flowers, there is a male and a female. You know, it's just that's part of our system and how it works. And yes, sex is sex, and the world operates on it. But this scholar said that they tend to use sex and gender differently grammatically. You know, it's, I used to have this sentence in my mind that I could demonstrate that. But when you don't want your reader or listener to think that you're talking about the sex act, you will say gender, you know? And so it was a grammatical kind of thing. But as gender and sex were used in different ways in the hard sciences, he asked a number of scholars, so why do you use them as different things? There were three reasons. One was just the grammatical, which that has always been the case. Our old, good, faithful English teachers will tell us that. It's a grammatical kind of thing. Another one was, they said, it just seems to be the fashion to use these terms. And then the third one was to show allegiance. This is actually what it said, to show allegiance with feminist causes. Okay, you know what, if that's what they want to do in the disciplines, but that is not a scientific reason. There was no scientific, hard discipline reason for them to see sex and gender as different things. Over here in the soft sciences, the humanities, they don't operate, I mean, they operate in ideas. I'm a humanities major, and there's good parts of that. But they created the distinction just simply out of ideology, because that's the way they want the world to work. And so know that. Do not play the game of, well, yes, of course, sex and gender are different things. And so when my questioner on campus says, you don't seem to understand those things, it's interesting to be able to go in and give the explanation that I just gave quickly about John Money and things, and they're like, what you see, I mean, what there is like, okay, I only know as much about that as I just said, that there's a difference, and he seems to know a little bit more, so I'll just be quiet, you know? You don't have to know a whole lot more to know more than them, which is really kind of sad, because you want your opponent to know their stuff, you know? So the difference between sex and gender, that is an illusion. So let's start the five fatal inconsistencies, or the five fatal flaws. The first is that gender is a spectrum. And that's really kind of where we get the rainbow from, is I was stupid enough at Madison, Wisconsin to say that there are only male and female. Flat earther, you know, the you know, a geocentric view of the universe. I'm just one of those old thinkers, right? Because we know that, no, there is a cascade, there's a rainbow, there's a virtual universe of all kinds of different genders. Can anybody tell me, if I bring up gender and different genders and Facebook, what might I be referring to? Say it out loud.
51 flavors.
Yes, exactly. Very good. You've been paying attention in class. It was interesting because at Focus, I do a good bit of media, and I got a call. I was coming back from lunch, and our press person was saying, the New York Times wants to interview somebody from Focus because Facebook is expanding their number of genders that you can click as to who you are on your profile. And immediately I knew, okay, Facebook does not know what it's getting into. And so I called the reporter, talked to them. They said 51 different genders. It was first 48, and then they added a couple. And knowing they don't know what they're getting into is they assumed that these different genders were objective things. I mean, you know, they're approaching it in good faith. Yeah, let's include all the genders. Well, what happened? 58 different genders. Okay, for us paying attention in class, you know what? That's exciting. Tell us about the 58 genders, you know? I'd love to know, okay? Because we're curious students. Well, what happened was, and seriously, you could go on the Facebook page and all the comments under the news that they were going to all these different genders, people were complaining, hey, how come you didn't include my gender? And so you think about this, and you know the people at Facebook are like, seriously? We came up with 58 of them. And these people were saying, Facebook is prejudiced against me because they did not include my gender. And so it's like, okay, well, tell us what your gender is. We'll put it down here. Boom. Problem solved. Well, another person comes. What about my gender? What about my gender? What about my gender? And they're like, how many genders can there be? Exactly. When it is only between your mind, between your ears, your gender can be anything you want it to be. And Facebook really tried to give it a good shot, 58. So what they had to end up doing was, and I love this, they didn't present it this way, but basically they said, just fill in your gender, you know? And so to translate that was like, good Lord, just write in whatever you want to write in. I mean, that's what they had to come down to, right? Because some of the gender theorists will be honest enough to say there are as many genders as there are people. Now, that is actually a more honest statement. Because what they really mean is, I'm assuming you're a woman, right? And you're a woman over here, but you're two different kinds of women. You know, you think about Sarah Palin, okay? She can go out, she can shoot a moose and field dress it all by herself. That's a man thing to do, okay? She's acting more like a man. But all of us troglodytes in this room about the gender thing. You know, people don't, I wish just Sarah would start acting more like a woman. You know, you could maybe change a carburetor. Queen Elizabeth, I mean, that's the cool thing in The Crown. I mean, you know, you learn, this woman can work on cars. But women don't work on cars. Well, you know what? No, they do. And so it's this thing of, you know what? No, not every woman fits in the woman box. Not every man fits in the man box. But that doesn't mean that we can't continue to speak meaningfully about what men and women are. There are a bunch of different ways to be a good man. There are a bunch of different ways to be a good woman. And we live our sex difference, our gender reality, in different ways. And so that's what they're saying. Well, you know, gosh, you can do plumbing, and you know, you like to bake cookies. And so, you know, no, these stereotypes of how women are, it just doesn't work. As if we're gonna go like, okay, you just shot my system. You know, like, no, we understand that. And that there are women who are, and I don't mean this ugly, but a little more butchy, you know? Like, you know what, if that's the way you wanna be, you know, just knock yourself out, be true to who you are. But that doesn't threaten the system that, no, there's just male and female there. Now, the thing with gender spectrum, how do we know that there are more than two genders? Well, there's shirts that tell us. And you can't print it on a shirt if it's not true. Okay, but guys, this is what makes this work so much fun. Okay, remember again the inconsistencies and just paying attention in class. Okay, class, now I want you to know there are more than two genders. There are more than two genders. Professor, then I have a question. Over here, where it says gender, there's just two genders. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain, you know? I mean, you can't make this stuff up. And you just see it. You see it time and time again. Now, this is another thing. This past weekend, I'm reading the New Yorker. You sound so pretentious. I was reading the New Yorker last week, but I like the New Yorker for the cartoons. And this is a story on Rachel Maddow on MSNBC. I don't know if you ever watched that channel, MSNBC, but there's a channel called MSNBC, and they are enlightened. If you want to know the truth and think broadly and freely about things, MSNBC will help you. And Rachel Maddow is one of the, I mean, she's just the top person there, right? So they're doing this profile on her in Rachel Maddow's office. And so I'm reading, okay, Rachel, she is one of the enlightened ones. She believes as a lesbian, there's a rainbow of genders. This journalist writing for the New Yorker is probably not moonlighting from the Weekly Standard or National Review, you know? She lives in New York, she's enlightened, but they do not live by the belief system that they say they hold. And you can watch it when they just write. And so, small little thing, not a big thing, this is the work that I do, so I pay attention to these things. I'm reading the article, I want to learn about Rachel Maddow. In Rachel Maddow's office at the MSNBC studios, there is a rack on which hangs about 30 elegant women's jackets. Rachel, we are going to assign you that you wear women's jackets. Okay? I mean, like, but no, aren't they just jackets? Because I will say that on college. Can't people just be people? I mean, they'll say that to me. Well, yeah, people can be people, but there are male and female people. And, you know, if somebody in the audience stands up and, why can't people just be people? The whole audience goes nuts. Why can't jackets just be jackets? You know? And this journalist would go, oh, okay, you know, that's my, you know, pre-1950s mind, you know, jumping in there. No, when they're not paying attention to what they should be doing, reality just creeps out here. And then the other thing, how do we know they're women's jackets? Because they're elegant. You know what I mean? Just like, come on! Okay, now you turn over to the next page, and it talks about her workday. She shows up at work at 12:30, and she familiarizes herself with the news. And then at 2 o'clock, she meets with her staff of 21, what? Men and women. I mean, seriously, okay? This is Rachel Maddow at MSNBC, and you want to ask the question, okay, how many of the other 58 genders, Rachel, do you have applying for work, and why haven't you hired any of them? I mean, it's just like, I'm paying attention in class, I'm trying to get it, but nobody would think anything about that. But again, us as students trying to pay attention in class, reality does not connect with their own ideology because the ideology is contrary to the way that reality works. And if I were to say, you know, if we were to say, well, Rachel Maddow is a trans person and we're not going to play the male-female game, this journalist would be one of the first ones to say, you're not being fair, you're being bigoted. But they can't be aware of and consistent within their own worldview that way. And it is just absolutely remarkable. Okay, so the second thing is, this is the second commandment of gender theory. And this is that binary is bad. When I say, class, binary is bad, what do I mean? You know what? Credit for being honest. She has no idea. That's good.
That there are only men and women.
Exactly. The binary, you know, that those are the only two games in town. That no, that they're not binary. You know, they'll say, you know, Mr. Stanton, you're just too binary. Okay? That there, again, and that's related to there are a rainbow of different people. And that the binary thing is essentially, they would see it as the blacks should have their places and the whites have their places and the Asians have their places. I mean, they see these kinds of things as similar. That just as evil as class distinction is and those sorts of things, that binary is evil. Okay? Class, don't get stuck in the male and female thing. There are so many. But next, tomorrow in class, we're going to talk about what LGBT means, okay? It's tomorrow. The L, what does the L mean? Lesbian. Can you tell me what a lesbian is? And I'll help you. A lesbian is a woman, okay, first of all, a woman. Can a lesbian be any other type of sex or gender? No, they are women. A woman who is attracted to women. Very good. You guys have read ahead in the book. Who else is the lesbian sexually attracted to? Out of the 58 to 100 different genders, who else is she attracted to? Nobody. Just women. Is she attracted to men? No, she's attracted to women. Is the lesbian attracted to embodied, transgender, cis, blah, 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 you know? No, she's attracted to women. Okay, professor, I've got that. A lesbian is a woman that is attracted only to women and not to men or anybody else, okay? The gay thing, what does it mean? Yes, it's a man. You've made it so simple. A man that is attracted to a man. Can a gay individual be anything other than a man? No. Can he be attracted or not attracted to any other person than a man? No. And first of all, with the gay thing, we need to know that gay is not a definitive, specific term. Gay is more, because you can have two gay men, if you will, who are not, they're same-sex attracted, but they're not gay. Gay is more, seriously, it's more of a political identity. As I like to say, you can have two same-sex attracted men. They just live together in the neighborhood. They are not into the politics. They're just, it's like you have a gun owner, and then you have an NRA member, and then you have an NRA lifetime member. That's the equivalent of being gay in the gay community. It's like, I am all in. I got the bumper stickers on my car. I go to the marches. You need me to sign up. You people are the gay people of our movement, you know, the hardcore folks. But gay is a socio-political identity rather than, you know, a real descriptor of the way that somebody is. Okay, so L's are women attracted to women, no other alternative. G's are men attracted to G's, no other alternatives. Think of all the other possibilities out there. Those people are just pushed to the side. Okay, the B's, who are they? The bi's. You guys are so good. The bi's, bisexual. What does that mean? If you have the bisexual individual, what does that say about them? Okay, either way, is it either way or always? It's either way because it's bisexual. It means the individual is attracted both to males and females. Now, bi, what does that prefix indicate? Bifocals? Bicoastal, binary. I mean, Professor, am I on the right track here? Again, like, I'm just trying to pay attention to what you're saying. I mean, it is ridiculous. Okay, now trans. If you are a trans individual, what does that mean that you are? If we had a guest speaker come into class, this is a transgender individual. What is their story? They were assigned being male at birth, that's the proper language, and they now identify as what they are, and they understand themselves to be assigned male, but they are female, and they have brought their identity into who they understand themselves to be. Okay, so with the whole rainbow of all the different genders, you would think that there would be all kinds of trans people. There are two types of trans people. And when you look into the nomenclature and the literature, there are two types, and they will ask you, well, my cousin is trans. And they'll go, oh, really? That's interesting. Are they an MTF or a TFM? No. FTM or MTF. What that means is, are they a male to female trans or female to male trans? Aren't there other options? Nope, those are pretty much the two options. And we see it constantly. And what is interesting on top of this is, look at trans individuals. They are typically, and think about Bruce Jenner, okay? He appears on the cover of Vogue ladies, how many of you like, oh gosh, I wish I could look like that? I mean, not just in her maleness, femaleness, but it's this, the feminists, well, the big hands, just stop being mean. You know, it is interesting that she has he has his hands behind him. They don't know what to do with the hands, you know? And I tell you what, I mean, this is the other thing, that who was most critical of that picture? Not just morally, but just sort of the vibe of humanity, the women were. I mean, you know you were, ladies. Like, good Lord, what does he think he's doing? You know? I mean, even the Hollywood ladies were like, good Lord, Bruce, just do something, you know, with those hands or this or that. But he transed, if you will, into a hyper-stereotypical sort of way, did he not? And that women will trans to male in generally stereotypical male sorts of way. You typically don't find a trans sort of gender, transing to sort of a blah male or femaleness. Like most of us live, you know? Now I'm this beautiful image of masculinity, you know, unlike so many of you. But even in the trans thing, they will go in the binary direction of, if I'm a man and I'm transing woman, I really want to be, I want the world to know I'm a woman. And so I'll be a little womanish over the top. And the same thing with the guy. But what we have found here is, yes, binary is bad, but the LGBT story is built smack dab on binary. And when you bring that up in class, they're like, well, you don't understand. I was trying to pay attention in class. Can you help? I mean, it's laughable, you know? And again, it has no connection with reality whatsoever. Here are some examples, okay? Now, this is two real people in England. This is an England morning talk show. Fox and Owl. You can see that. Fox and Owl are a couple who identify as gender non-binary. Okay? They identify as gender non-binary. First of all, you got to love the names. You know what? It's just great. Good for you for being creative with names. Names can be so boring. But they identify as gender non-binary. That means that we cannot apply our male and female structure and understanding to understand who they are. They blow the categories. They are above and beyond. They transcend male and female. That is what Fox and Owl's story is. So, is there anything that you view about them that puts in your mind anything male or female? It's just like, good Lord, make it interesting at least. You know, and I will say this, like, you gay folks are supposed to be the creative ones. Why don't you come up with other things? No, there is a visual male and there is a visual female. And regardless of where you go in culture, regardless of what your worldview is, most people, if you ask, what do we have here? I mean, those two people could be on Rachel Maddow's staff and be one of the 21 males and females. Now, the gender theory people would go, oh, no, but there's a big curveball coming to you. And I bet you can guess what the curveball is, okay? Because you're smart people. Who is the physical, biological male in this picture? Think carefully. Okay? Do you think it's this person? No. No. Because, see, you have to try to think more complex. This is more complex. It's not, it's beyond your simple little world. Okay? So I'm just going to take a guess that it's the person that looks like a woman that actually has the male genitalia. Am I wrong? How did you know that? I mean, are you getting me? Okay? And so it's Fox over here. He's actually the woman, but he has a beard. Well, women can have beards. You know, it's like, this is supposed to blow our minds. Right? Like, you know what? Women can shape themselves to look like men. And men can shape themselves to look like women. That just does not blow my mind, you know? But they think that they're being so radical here when it's like, of the other 58 other options, please, folks, pick one of them so at least it's interesting. Now, in my talks on college campuses, I will say humanity is made up of male and female, like I told you. And I will say, all the females, will you please raise your hand? And I'm going to do that in this audience. All the females, please raise your hand. Okay? How many of you had to think about it or ask the person next to you, which one am I now? All the males, raise your hands. Okay? Now on college campuses, there's one actually raised their hand that I was questioning. Oh, that actually is a guy. Because he identifies as a guy. I won't say who that is. But now on college campuses, I will ask, is there anybody that does not fit into either of those categories? And audiences like you laugh, you know, like, yeah, that's a silly question. Well, I have people who raise their hands, right? And they kind of raise it like, you know, like, I'm going to blow your mind. You came here with this little black and white world system, and I'm going to blow your mind. And so as interesting, curious people, if you're in my position, and yes, we heard all the males, we heard from all the females, and three people in the audience raised their hand to say they don't fit in any other category, what are you going to do? Exactly! You know, like, I've never met a human that has a lion's tail. Please come up afterwards, because I want to hear your story, right? I have not ever met anybody who wasn't male or female. I want to hear your story. Please come up afterwards. I'll take some time. I mean, and very seldom will they come up. But sometimes they'll come up, and as soon as we go to the break, they're like, you know, like, they're just going to blow my world. And what else, you know, first of all, like, you know what, thank you for coming up. Thank you for, what's your name? And my name's Glenn, and I interact, and I go, now, I don't want to judge you. I don't want to presume that I know your story, but given that caveat, can I maybe take a shot at what your story might be? And they're like, okay. And it's funny, but it's not. I will go, okay, I imagine that perhaps you were born as an embodied male or an embodied female, but you didn't really identify with that in the way that, you know, those around you were reacting to you as a female, and you felt that either you just simply weren't that, or maybe that you were more like a boy. And so as you started to grow older, you started to form your life around you of the, you know, dungarees or the jeans that you wore and the shoes that you wore and the clothes that you, you know, the way you fashioned yourself and the toys you played with and who you identified with and who you played with. It was more about boys. And so you started to really identify more in that way. And they are like, how did you know? And it's, I mean, it's kind of sad because it's just like these two, you know, it's like, no, you haven't created a new kind of gender. You are an embodied female, born a girl, that doesn't really identify like typical girls do, and you have a short crew cut, and you have big, big boots, and you like to do more guy things. That fits perfectly within my understanding of how the genders are, you know? It's just, you are not something new and different. You're just a different variation of one or the two. And I have still yet to find the individual who comes up and introduces themselves and for me to go, you know what, I really have no idea what your story could possibly be. It's interesting, there's a video, and then I'm going to move on, of Fox and Al. And you can go on YouTube and just type in Fox and Al and watch their videos. And they are a couple. And this one video, they go through this all talk about who they are. Am I the boyfriend? Are you the girlfriend? What's the nature of our relationship? And they're having fun with it, and they're like, well, I would call us this, but no, I'd call us this, but maybe we should call ourselves this. And basically what they're doing is saying, what we are is so new and so cutting edge that there isn't even a name for it, and that we can't even come up with a name for it. Okay, but again, paying attention in class. But I thought what you were was just natural. It's just the way humanity is. And you guys are really the first ones to think about coming up with a name for who you are across all human civilization. Up to this point, nobody had thought about, for the different genders that you are, to think of a name for it. You know? Does that make sense to you? I mean, it's just, it's nutty that way. Okay, this is something that is actually real. And this came out a couple of months ago on Dutch Royal Airlines, KLM's, airlines, they put this on their Twitter profile. It doesn't matter who you click with, happy hashtag Pride Amsterdam, okay? And see, now you could be, I'm just guessing, this would be female and female, okay? You could be, I'm a guessing, that's male to male, or you could be male to female. And it doesn't matter for us here at KML Airlines, okay? Because we celebrate everything. Well, when we fly KLM Airlines, excuse me, can you put me in a seat with heterosexual buckling? You don't want one of our other buckling options? Well, maybe I could do these if they're long enough and just tie them together. And these people got slammed. Not by people like us, but actually from those in the gay community of like, it's not helping us if you're stupid, you know? And it just like, good Lord. But again, ideology connected to reality in no possible way. And again, this kind of, I mean, in the corporate boardroom, okay, let us show you our new ad, you know, and nobody in the room like, okay, I'm just gonna ask a question. You know, I mean, like nobody thought, because caught up just in the ideology. So, you wanna buckle up heterosexually, the other buckling systems just don't connect with physics. Okay, now this is another big one. Male and female are cultural constructs. When I say male and female are cultural constructs, what do I mean? You read in the text, students, come on. It means that male and female don't actually exist. It means we are all human beings, and society and societal expectations generally created by men say the men will be this and the women will be this. And what that means is the man sits in his bark lounger in the evening when he gets home, and the woman is the one who creates the food, makes the food, brings the food to the gentleman, and then comes and clears it away when he's done. Okay, that's a social construct of what male and female are. Well, we know that's the way God created it, right? Not really. But actually, that's kind of what they'll say, like, okay, no, you nailed it. I mean, that's the way men and women interact all across the world, just like Edith and Archie Bunker. You know, like, no. Okay? So, but they believe that male and female, that you act as females because the culture determines this is what females do. And you act as men because the culture that in which you exist determines this is what men do. But here's the thing, first of all, and in one of my books that's not there, it's called Secure Daughters, Confident Sons. And what it's about is looking at the distinction of male and female. There are evolutionary psychologists, evolutionists, they don't go in for the traditional views, but they have gone and looked at male and female in all cultures. And they say that there are overwhelming similarities of what women do and what they prefer and how they act. And same with the men across all human cultures. And it's wonderful to see the titles of their studies: an analysis of male and female attitudes and behaviors in, you know, 6 continents, 36 island chains. And it's just on and on and on of like everywhere they can possibly go to study people, that's where they've gone. And they find out that guess what? Not only are there just male and female, no other options, but the male and females generally in a way act in unique ways and in distinction from one another. So We see, so the idea that male and female are cultural constructs flies in the face of the most cutting-edge research in evolutionary psychology and evolutionary anthropology, telling us that no, everywhere you go, there's a male and a female, there's a generally a male way of doing things and a female way of doing things, that male and female tend to do, not that they all do it, and there is this male and female nature. But they tell us, no, that is just an artificial construction, okay? It is only apparent in that way. And if the culture does not demand that men and women be this way, then they won't be this way. Well, the question is, what force was it that went everywhere in the world at every time in human experience and said, now women, you're gonna act like this, and men, you're gonna act like this? There is no force that powerful save for this being called God. Okay, maybe he had something to do with it. But, okay, so we're paying attention. Male and female are social constructs. They don't actually exist in reality. But if you're trans, okay, Bruce Jenner was a man that we understood him to be a man, but finally at some stage in his life, he got up the courage. And this is what one commentator said. He got up the courage to actually become and identify with the person that he always was. And we need to respect the trans individual, because if I'm born a man but I understand myself a woman, that is actually who I am. My body is wired that way to be the woman that I think I am. And if you say that I'm not, then you are taking away from me my own natural, intrinsic identity. Okay, so connect those two things. Gender is a social construct, but the trans person is actually, scientifically, under the microscope, actually who that person is. I mean, that's a little harder to understand, but it can't be both. You know, I am not naturally male according to gender construction theory. I only appear as male. But if I say that I'm a female, then I actually, objectively, from the foundation of the world, am a female. And when you bring this up to folks, they're like, huh, okay. Well, no, you know, it's just like, it can't be both ways. Okay, we're moving right along. The other is that androgyny is natural. That, yes, male is a social construct, female is a social construct, but being androgynous, being neither male or female, is a natural thing. But androgyny does not exist in nature. Okay, tomorrow in class, we're going to take a field trip. I'm going to take you to this weird culture that you have never seen before at the tip of some continent, and we're going to go see people there. You're not going to find any androgynous individuals because it doesn't exist in nature, nor are you going to see anybody else who doesn't fit into the male or female. You will see androgynous individuals, like, think about David Bowie, okay? David Bowie is not... And if I were to say that, the college audience would clap. Yeah, see, there's androgynous people. David Bowie has to sit in the makeup chair for a long, long, long time and consult with the fashion expert to get the look that he is. Richard Simmons, that's shtick for him. He's not really that way. It's his shtick, you know? People are not naturally just non-gender. That is the social construct. David Bowie has to go through the social construction process of makeup and clothes and staging and everything to become the androgynous individual that he is. It does not just simply exist in nature. And finally, this thing which we're going to talk about in the first session tomorrow, the fatal inconsistencies. Well, my little boy is actually a little girl. My little boy was assigned boy at birth because he has that little appendage, but it's not really who he is because he understands himself to be female, okay? And that being in class, me the professor, that can happen. There are people that, well, they're different, and we know that they should not be assigned a particular gender just based on their body, okay? That's what we learn in gender class. Well, here's this story. CNN, this is recent, August 1st, 2017. Okay, so here's a person that, this is a man. We know he's a man because he looks like a man, and he says he's a man, but look, he can become pregnant. It's not a man. It's a person who was born a woman. She was assigned being a woman at birth because she had that other thing down south that boys don't have, so they said, you're a girl. But then he grew up, and he goes, oh, no, I'm not. And his name's Tristan Reese. He was assigned the female gender at birth, the story says. But he goes, oh, no. That was wrong. I was misidentified, and they made assumption about me and who I was based just on my body, and that was unfair. See, I am a man, and I am a man who has a uterus, and I'm not afraid to use it, he says. So, he and his partner, Biff, I love this, Biff Chaplow, they have the baby. What is the baby, okay? We're paying attention in class. Is the baby a boy or a girl? Well, according to this couple, we don't know. It's indicated that it's a little boy, but that's only the external. We're going to have to wait until the child grows up and hear their story and determine who they are. And who knows that better than Tristan and Biff, right? Because that's their own story. But no. They gave birth to a boy, and they named him Leo. And nobody sees the irony of this. I mean, not even the journalist who is suspicious of everything and asks the penetrating questions. Oh, it's a boy. Called him Leo. We'll report it as he's, they did to their child what people did to him, and he thinks was so unfair. You cannot live consistently. They cannot live consistently with their own belief system. And this is what makes it fun, is to just watch this stuff and see it come up time and time and time again. And do that yourself, you guys, as you're reading these kinds of things. I paid attention in gender studies class. I listen to the rules, I listen to the professor. If I seem to be confused, I ask questions, and I got clarity. But I'm seeing these things left and right that just are contrary to what I have been taught. I'm not going to go into this, but I want to end this with just this statement as Christians. And I told Pastor here that I appreciated in his prayer, Father, you, male and female, you created them in the image of God. You created them, male and female. Male and female, and I'll end right here. Male and female represent, the female represents the divine, eternal, incomprehensible God in a unique way in her femininity. That is a huge feminist statement in the best sense of the word. Okay? The male does that same thing in his maleness. It's not just that humanity bears the image of God and they just happen to be male and female, but it's the male and the female that uniquely bear the image of God. In humanity, we cannot tell the image of God without male or female. Okay? Satan hates God. At the very beginning, he got the first two human beings to doubt the word of God. Surely God did not say. Today, he is getting us to doubt not just the word of God, but the image of God. And when he sees these kinds of things happening, it's like that time on the cross, like, I am getting it. because I am getting people to ignore and say that that God imaging nature and distinction and uniqueness of male and female, they're saying it doesn't matter anymore. Yes. A friend of mine said, Satan could be an excellent Sunday school teacher. And it was in relation to our conversation in this. What he meant is, Satan knows what the whole story is about and what the various things represent. And when we doubt in our culture that male and female really matter, this is not just the latest skirmish in the culture war. It is an attack upon the image of God himself. All the people involved in it may not know that because they don't know God, but we do. And we have to, in a prophetic sort of way, know what this is about. And pastors and church, it's not just about, again, the latest culture war skirmish and the, you know, these laws that are being passed and pushed within your state and so many other. It's a threat. It's a challenge. It's going after the understanding of male and female and what that represents in humanity and in eternity as well. So, tomorrow morning we're going to start talking about the science of transgenderism and what the truth and what the falsehood there is. Please go home, get a good night's rest, and we'll come back tomorrow.
What do you think of this guy? Home with you, and if you can help us with the donation to take all of this, the little box in the back is there, and see you tomorrow morning.